time again, Reflections in the Dark, here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, along with my co-host, Joe Citrone. We're here usually on Sundays. We've been pretty consistent of late, and talking about current events, topics that regard the supernatural, the paranormal, prophecy, end times, cake making, anything that you think, that we think you could use. If anybody understood that, write it and send it back to me. But it's great to be here. It's great to have some fun on the show with my co-host. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing good, Richard. It's very good to be here today. And I don't even know what you just said, by the way. So I couldn't even send you anything. I don't even know what it was. And but
I was looping.
Good to be here.
Yes.
You looped big time, and I can't even say that I could loop halfway you looped, because I didn't understand anything that you said. I'm going to listen to the archive of this just so I can figure out and unscramble the hidden code of what you just said.
But, it was like the show Quantum Leap. Momentarily, yeah. I went someplace else and then came back. Yes.
I used to watch that show. That was with little Ziggy. In the Quantum Leap, and that was a good one. But I want to welcome everybody out there who are sticking by with us. You know, glad you're listening. Glad you made it. We appreciate you. We've been appreciating you guys for years. So it's always good to know we have a nice little fan base, little following going on. But other than that, it's a typical fall day in New England. It's getting a little chilly. The leaves are starting to fall. Football season is here. And the New England Patriots destroyed the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that was pretty pathetic. I didn't even watch it because it just was pathetic. It's amazing how these football teams can spend millions of dollars and just be so bad. But, I had a lot of the same similar fall things, except no cool weather, no leaves, no change of seasons, but we did have football. Right now it's raining, folks, we got lightning strikes all around. I have this little alert on my phone saying lightning has struck 5 miles away. Seek shelter, because in case you don't know, a quick little lesson, a lightning strike can reach you five, 6 miles from where it originates. But I love the alerts when it goes, lightning struck 0 miles away, which means it was right on top. So this thing, these alerts on my phone are flashing like crazy. So hopefully, prayerfully, we'll stay on the air. But speaking of change of season, the Cultoberfest 2015, a month-long look at the occult and Halloween and various aspects of the supernatural and the paranormal related and regarding to that. Sixth annual started in 2010. And I've got to say this, since I'm going to be stepping on a lot of toes, I think I might as well just start early. I do not understand people that claim to be Christians who are supposed to know better, who, when I look at their Facebook and Twitter and social media pages, are getting ready to celebrate Halloween. I'm just astounded. If you're one of those people, explain to me, write to me on supernaturalresponse.net, or one of the social media places we're connected, how you justify a celebration of death and darkness and the demonic and claim to be a believer. I'm just curious.
Well, that's a good question. And before I give you an opinion of what I think it could be or in that direction, how are you getting the app that's telling you about lightning striking? Is there a lightning striking app? Or is it just like a
Weather channel. The Weather Channel on my phone has that particular storm alerts.
I feel, because in my mind I was envisioning that this app that you had showed little animations of lightning and stuff like that. And I'm like, what does he have? How come I don't have that on my phone? So anyway,
No animations, but probably it was, if you felt this alert, you're probably dead. That would probably be one of the things. But yeah, it just comes up on my screen, this little white thing that probably should just say run for cover, but it gives you this long-winded thing. But yeah, it's the Weather Channel, Of course, I live in Florida, Central Florida, the lightning strike capital of the world. I mean, it gets
and
pretty
that,
crazy.
And that's true.
It's a,
now, let me just say this. Let me exactly. Let me just say this because I don't want to forget. I agree what you're saying, and I understand. We had a conversation before when we talked about holidays and things like that. Now, you remember when you and I were younger and growing up, you know, obviously we would dress up, we would go out, we would get candy. We remembered Halloween for times where maybe our parents took us out and, you know, got all the candy that we needed, and everything was great. The only thing that I can think of is people had that same tradition like they do, say, football. You know, it gets embedded in your mind that Thanksgiving there is football. And I want to say that there's a majority of people and Christians out there who may still have that mindset of let's celebrate this, let's go through this format, let's do this, and they do it more of as a traditional level, not thinking of the repercussions of the dark and what it really stands for. So maybe there's a little bit confusion there. You know, I'm not justifying it for them. I'm not even trying to cut them slack, but I'm saying that maybe that traditional. Okay.
Let me add a layer to the question then. I get it, because when you and I were growing up, there was nobody out there telling us how bad it was. But if you've been listening to this show for over 5 years, if you've been listening to us talk about these things, how do you justify the fact that we have in depth blamed all the layers that it's wrong? That's, you know, I don't want to, we'll save that for October and really get into it. But quick announcement before we go on some really heavy duty stuff.
Quick newsflash, Richard. Somebody who's listening to the show says there is no sound.
There's no sound.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm not in control of Blog Talk. Other people have written me and said, you know, they've had their problems with Blog Talk. And some people have problems, some people don't. Let me ask the people in the chat room. Somebody the other day said Blog Talk having problems, and they listened to the archived and it was recorded. And unfortunately, it's what we deal with here, folks, because to go anyplace else is just way too expensive right now. So bear with us. If for some reason you're not hearing us, you can get the archive right afterwards. A quick announcement. Mentioned it Wednesday on the porch, but the Firefall Network on YouTube. The actual website for the network is under construction. For those that don't want to hook up to YouTube or their smartphones or their tablets, give them a hard time. We're going to be posting these five-minute reflections I've been doing, just quick little spiritual insights, repost of old seminars and teachings. We're going to try to develop some SRT webisodes out of what we've already done, and then there'll be new teachings and online webinars coming. Both free and, of course, subscription-based, because to do those seminars, webinars, whatever you want to call them, teaching, is going to cost for the streaming and the conferencing and for everybody to interact. So as soon as I have information on it, we'll get that. But, you know, we're talking Halloween, so let's jump off from here.
Okay.
This week, self-styled paranormal investigators Mark and Debbie Constantino and a third unidentified man, were killed in Sparks, Nevada during a domestic violence incident. If you don't know who they are, the Constantinos were billed as, they self-proclaimed EVP, electronic voice phenomenon experts, and they appeared regularly on the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures. Apparently this has been an ongoing thing. We're not saying it has something to do with it. We're not saying it doesn't, but apparently they were separated. Mark went to the apartment where she was staying with his roommate. Apparently he killed the roommate, kidnapped her. And then when the police tried to rescue her, he killed her and then killed himself. Now, Joe, I know you follow this, but I read this today on Fox News. So now I don't know what is true. Fox News says that they had a history domestic violence, 10 incidences, and she was primarily the aggressor. She was first arrested in 2012, and that's why in one of the last attempts, the husband and the daughter were involved in an altercation with her. But anyway, these people are now dead, and the paranormal world is reeling. Now, you know about them, don't you, Joe?
Yeah, matter of fact, I remember meeting them at an EVP session where they were doing kind of like they had their own, you know, back in 2004, 2005, even that 2006 range, there was a lot of different conferences and seminars going on, whether they were holding them in libraries and small little places like that. They used to do a thing on EVPs and how to pull the best EVPs that you possibly can out of nothing. And they were the ones that really, he was the one that really started everything as far as being able to take something that you could barely hear and then pull something out of it. So he became an EVP specialist. And then the popularity by knowing the Johnsons and you know, ghost hunters and going on different shows gained so much respect. I don't know. There's so many rumors that are speculating out there as far as whose fault it was, who was the aggressor. From what I've always heard is that obviously they've had some problems. The police have been there numbers of times to break up arguments, domestics that were happening. She was trying to get away from him, try to get out of the situation. He couldn't deal with it. There was a lot of stress and emotional, mental stress, I guess you would probably say, is the best word. And when push came to shove and she wanted to get away, that's when he went ballistic and, killed the person and then killed her, and obviously, you know, the rest of it. But there's always going to be a reason as to what they think happened, or there's going to be 10 different ways you hear it. But the point being is, you know, I don't want to, I know the families are grieving out there and, you know, I understand what's happening right now, but I will say this, and I don't mean this for them personally, but I will say this, and you and I have talked about this many a times. I believe every time you get involved with a real case, you know, a genuine case of paranormal activity, when you get involved, whether you're running EVP sessions, whether you're just there, just your presence alone there, I think it takes a toll on you mentally, physically, emotionally, obviously, and spiritually. I think you, a lot more happens to you internally than you realize, and throughout the years of doing it, it progresses. So I think whatever the type of person you are, I think it's enhanced by whatever is going on in the supernatural, as well as what's happening to you on a scientific level. You've always talked about, you know, we talk about electromagnetic frequencies and stuff like that. It's really a tricky and delicate situation. But Richard, I have to say, I'm not justifying why people do what they do. I mean, obviously you have free will and you make those decisions, and everybody has, you know, issues to a certain extent. But I mean, you know, I'm not going to say blame it on the paranormal and investigating, but somewhere down the line, I think there's a link that our mind, our brain is affected a lot more than we think of when we go to these cases. I think spirit activity, the energies, the frequencies that happen is doing a lot to our physical body than we realize.
Yeah, I think we should blame it on the bossa nova, truly. But no, I'm sorry. The minute you said that, I heard that song in my head, which is dating myself. But I think here's what's going to happen. We've talked about this, and I would love to make this a part of an SRT documentary, whatever you call it, to show that these things are giving off negative electromagnetic radiation. Now, you take somebody that's already unstable, maybe they have a drinking problem, maybe they have anger issues, it's going to magnify that. Now, you take the fact that these people were on Ghost Adventures, which is predominantly a show where they rile things up to get evidence. They're not there to stop anything. They're not there to cast anything out. They're there to put on a show. Now, I know that they've been accused recently of faking. Of course, week to week, you can't always come up with something, but that's not the topic. But if you're in the presence, you're going to these places, to these houses, to the land that has been imprinted, that there is demonic paranormal activity, it's got to take its toll on you. And then add to the fact that these two were reportedly considered kooky and that their conversations with the dead were very theatrical and over the top. So there was some issues there that this just magnified and it went on. But my first response, and somebody sent me something on Twitter about it, my response was it happens sooner or later. And in looking some of the Facebook comments from people in the community, a lot of people said the same thing, not just about this couple. It was going to happen sooner or later. And I don't think it's the last time. I think as the energy has amped up, as evil has amped up, all the things we talked about on this show, more and more people are going to be affected by it.
Absolutely. I do. I realize that, you know, I mean, we always talk about, you know, blaming it on the paranormal or blaming it on the devil, or you always have something to say as far as linking everything to the supernatural. And while I do agree that we bring a lot of problems on ourselves as, you know, situations that happen in my life, our lives, everyone's lives, I still can't help but believe there is cause for alert here, that what's happening in the supernatural realm is affecting the investigators, and especially people, I think, that wasn't called to do that type of work. I mean, granted, anybody can grab a flashlight, a tape recorder, and a camera and go into an abandoned place and snap pictures and do all that stuff. It doesn't take much to do that. However, true investigating, taking on true cases, and just putting yourself in that mind frame, in that zone, to go into a home or an area that somebody is being affected, to try to help them, you know, find what's going on as far as an unknown force, an entity that is doing something. I mean, it takes a lot to do that. But I think not everybody is meant and chosen to do it. And I've come to that conclusion now as I've gotten older. I've seen what's going on. Now I'm saying to myself, you know something? Sure, we all can do it if we really wanted to, but I don't think we were all called to do it. And I think it shows in the you know, long run down the road how it takes a toll on us individually is probably a good indicator of those people that shouldn't have been involved with it.
Agreed. There's something else that I think is going to affect us.
There's a
blood moon tonight. Unfortunately, I'm not going to see it. I was going to go sit outside with my camera and get a picture of this blood moon, the long-awaited fourth and final blood moon on the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles. I wish I could see your face. I wish I could see your face.
I can't.
Oh, this is one time at which we were live. Anyway, unless you've been living under a rock, or this is the first time you've listened to a show like this, blood moons are all over the internet, all over the books, all over the DVDs. Everybody's talking about it prophetically. Well, here we are, the fourth and final one, lining up with the Jewish feast. It hasn't happened, I think, since 67, and it won't happen again for another, what, 33 years or something like that. My notes just went kablooey with that song. They're all over the place. Anyway, it's been a while since this has happened like this, four in a row, and it won't happen again until 33 years from now. So everybody wondering what happened last week. You know, we talked about all the prophetic things coming in September, and I think there were like 33. Somehow somebody made it out to be 33 so they could say it was an Illuminati conspiracy. Well, I wonder how many of those 33 did not happen. Many of them, as far as we know, didn't happen. The financial world did not collapse on the end of the Shemitah year. That we do know. But here's we'll get into that really quickly. It's really simple. There was no financial collapse, and here's why. Here's why I think. Again, this is just our opinions. All of this stuff, folks, everybody you listen to on the internet, on the podcast, the DVDs, the conferences, everybody is giving you an opinion. This is not an exact science, and I don't care what anybody says. They're giving you their interpretation of what they read and what they see. But I was speaking this week to a friend of mine that I've known since college. He is a believer, but not like we are. And not into all the prophetic stuff. Wouldn't have known what the Shemitah year was that I brought it up. But we talked about the financial world and the fact that the Fed did not raise the interest rate like everybody thought they were going to the other day, which would have sent the businesses into a tailspin. This is what he said. He said it's all smoke and mirrors. He's an investor. He has done very well. He said they had to raise the interest rate, and the fact that they didn't is they're trying to fool everybody into thinking it's okay, but it's not okay. And probably around December, this whole thing's going to come unglued. We owe too much money to the Chinese, too much money to the Russians, and everybody else. And here's what Mark Bilks said. He went on George Norrie, Coast to Coast, which I'm kind of surprised Norrie isn't really a big fan of people that come on talking biblical stuff. But here's what he said. When Israel was founded in the nation in 1948, the year 5708 Jewish calendar, Deuteronomy 30, verse 5 said, "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do these good and multiply thee above thy fathers." And of course, Norrie joked, that's just a coincidence, right? And Bilt said, well, this is the year 5776, and the 5776th verse is Deuteronomy 32:23, which states, "I will heap mischiefs upon them, and I will send mine arrows upon them." And what Bilts thinks, and what many of the other people think, and what I believe, is that judgment happened. We just don't understand it because we don't really pay clear attention to it. But the fact is that in, 600 BC, when Israel went into Babylonian captivity, it was the end of a Shemitah year. Debts were not wiped away. The Sabbath of the lands were not honored. And they went into captivity. And I think our captivity is going to come financially. We're not paying attention to the fact that Russia has set up shop in Syria, munitions, tanks, jets, bombs, everything. And China just sent a warship. They're not going to let Syria fall. They're going to bomb ISIS. I don't know if it'll be out of existence, but they're going to bomb them into the Stone Age, which is going to set off a domino effect in the Middle East that has to take us to a dangerous place. But real quick, if you can see the moon tonight, this is East Coast time, just adapted according to you. If I'm able to see it, if the clouds part at 8:12, the shadow will begin. A partial eclipse will occur at 9:07 p.m. Eastern time. And the total eclipse will be 10:11 p.m., and then it reach its peak at 10:47. And let me just throw this final thought we can talk about. The blood moon on the start of the Feast of Tabernacles, right after Yom Kippur, which was the Day of Atonement, which means if you could not atone, judgment came. Well, folks, there are no more lambs being slain. The Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, Israel's been judged. Forgive me, I love Israel, I love the people. They have not accepted HaMashiach. They have not accepted Messiah. And they've been judged. The Feast of Tabernacles is the celebration of provision in the wilderness. And if I'm correct in what I feel, we're about to go into a time of wilderness.
You know, I know you follow the biblical timeline, you know, as far as right down the middle there, dealing with the Middle East, what's happening. I mean, obviously, I myself take interest in doing that, but your extensive research has really set the bar high, and some of the things that you've talked about that was what's going to happen, that was, you know, maybe a year away from happening, they have happened in accordance of the way you laid it all out there. So I know that when it comes to this stuff, and when you got so many different people out there on the internet doing podcasts, various shows that want to put their little spin on it and want to say, well, this is that, and they tweak things a little bit and put some truth what's going on, and a lot of it is in their own opinion. But just by what's happening right now and what we're looking at in this world and where we're going, I don't know, Richard. I mean, it could be just me, you know, in the way we see things with our extensive research, but it really feels that if I was to just guess randomly, I think we're going to be in so much trouble within these next 2 years, maybe even less. I mean, I'm going to say sometime in 2016, we're going to see some drastic major events that are going to take place that I think is going to shake the world, where we're all going to be like, wow, okay, we better start taking it serious. Because it was just over the weekend, you know, Friday, I believe, I was watching this television show, and then there was this commercial, and it's the way that they look at these people, the way that they take actors and musicians and athletes and how they put them on that pedestal where, you know, I mean, I understand people want someone to look up to, a model after, but I mean, right now, I gotta say that all the millions and billions of dollars that are being, you know, paid to players and actors and musicians, and rightfully so, I understand that they work hard, you know, what they do, but I mean, really, are we going to spend that much money? Is the world in such chaotic stress here that while everything is happening and these stories about what's happening with Israel and the Middle East are going on, that we're going to really be worried about if a player gets signed, what's going to happen if he doesn't? And another thing, too, that just I still can't figure it out, is you get these players that hold out, and then they get this huge contract. And then they finally get this contract. They become, you know, maybe the highest-paid receiver or the highest-paid defensive back or the highest-paid quarterback. And then I'm telling you, it's not just coincidence, but within – maybe the first month of them playing after the big contract, they get injured and they're out. I can't see all this stuff. Our priorities are so messed up right now. Sports and this stuff has become such a business. I don't see the fun in it anymore.
Well, I think all of us like that. If you go on to whatever your homepage is, Yahoo or MSN or Google, whatever your first page is on the internet, the majority of the main stories, if they're not manipulations about the candidates, they are about the Kardashians, they're about Dancing with the Stars, they're about mindless, meaningless things to keep your mind off the fact that while you are watching that, somewhere in the Middle East, people are getting hacked to pieces because they were Christians and they were not Muslims. And the misdirection of the financial world, I mean, we're talking about that. You mentioned it with these athletes. The truth is, having been in the film business and having known some people that became very successful and been around them during their business negotiations and how things work, what nobody realizes is, let's say that athlete you're talking about, by the time he pays his agent, his manager, and his lawyer, he has maybe half that money. And then taxes get taken out. So you wonder why these guys go broke so quickly. First of all, they mismanage their money. But it's all about, it's a form of slavery. And while you're talking, I saw it really clearly, especially with debt. You know, the whole thing about the Shemitah year, the whole thing about the Sabbath year was that you were supposed to relieve and release people that were in debt to you. And if you did that, the Lord would honor you and bless you with a harvest or whatever. But as soon as the banksters took over everything, as soon as these money gangsters, we call banksters, took over everything, it all became about debt. And unless you afford to make a lot more than the minimum payment, the interest is going to keep you in debt forever. And let's say you default on that debt, as many of us have in our lifetime, and you try to do your best and you default and they sell that debt to a debt collector. Every time you tell the debt collector that calls you, either A, it's not my debt, or I can prove that it's not, or I don't owe as much, or I can't pay it right now, they turn around and sell that debt to another debt collector. And this goes on for 10 years, even though it's not supposed to. And it's all a scam. It's all about money. It's all a form of financial slavery. And that's what the year was supposed to be about. It was a release. But we didn't get a release. We didn't get rescued. And judgment has to come. If you look at Israel and Daniel and those people in the time of Babylonian captivity, in some way, shape, or form, that's coming to us. And the past week, for the first time in the 70-year history of the United Nations, a pope addressed the opening of the General Assembly. Now, let me give you a little preface here. If you are a dyed-in-the-wool Roman Catholic, you are about to be offended by some of the facts in the clip I'm about to play for you. And I understand. I was once just like that because of my tradition, a New York Italian. I was Roman Catholic. I wasn't very religious, but it was my tradition. It was my grandparents' tradition, and it was handed down to me. And I was staunch about it until my eyes were opened and I actually read the Bible for myself. And then I got born again and the scales fell off my eye. But for the first time in history, not only did the Pope speak at the UN General Assembly, the Vatican flag was raised amongst all the flags as a guest member. Oh, by the way, there was another flag raised, the Palestinian flag. Two flags that were not a part of the United Nations membership were raised at this United Nations General Assembly. And although the Pope did not mention Palestine, as many thought he would, he did promote the UN agenda of wealth distribution, disarmament, illegal immigration, and put his stamp of approval on Agenda 21, which was all of those things put into one basket. But I want to play a clip of something he said at St. Patrick's Cathedral to show you what, I don't even know what the word is, what got perpetrated upon the world, and I don't understand how anybody could still listen. This is him speaking in Italian and then the translator.
And if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and not produce fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, the failure of the cross.
The failure of the cross. I'm not surprised that he said that. I'm surprised he said that in the setting that he did in front of so many people. But I'm not surprised because not too long ago, I think it was 2014, summer 2014, he came out and said that to maintain a personal or direct relationship with Jesus Christ outside the mediation of the Roman Catholic Church was dangerous and harmful, and no one can become a Christian on their own. No one becomes a Christian by him or herself. The church is always the mediator. And basically, those of us who believe that we can be born again in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus of Nazareth, quote, are dangerous and harmful temptations to believe those things. Now, I played this for this reason, and I know some of you may be offended. It's time to pay attention to whom we give our allegiance to. It's time to listen to the admonition of the Lord when he warned that many will come in his name and say that he is the Messiah, the Christ, and will deceive many. We are in a time of deception, folks. Did I lose you, Joe?
Oh, no.
Well, I'll keep going. Back in May of this year, this same pontiff, this pope, the person they call the Holy Father, the mediator between the church and God, stated that Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and Allah were all names, this is a direct quote, these are all names employed to describe an entity that is distinctly the same across the world. 2014, he was gifted a Quran and kissed it and called it a holy book, and that Islam is a religion of peace. I'm sorry. Jesus, the Messiah, Jehovah, God, Yahweh, and Allah are not the same. And for him to stand up and say that should be the sure sign to anybody out there that thinks that this guy is the real deal, he's not. And it's time to state the fact that there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus, the Messiah. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, unless you've not been paying attention, Joe and I were both raised Roman Catholic. We are neither that any longer. I am very steeped in knowledge about Roman Catholicism. So if you want to write me and attack what I just said, be prepared for the discussion. I went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, Catholic college, and read a lot, studied a lot, was deeply indoctrinated into it, and since then have done my homework. And here's why I believe this man is dangerous. And I'm not the only one. Very devout Catholics, like Judge Napolitano from Fox News and many others. Judge Napolitano on Fox News stated, Pope Francis is popular on the world stage, and the crowds love him. But if he fails in his basic duties as pope, if his concern is more about for the secular than the sacred, if he aids the political agenda of the atheistic left, he is a false prophet leading his flock to a dangerous place where there is more central planning and less personal liberty. He went on in that article to talk about if his concerns are more about air conditioning and wages than they are about the person of Jesus Christ, he is a false prophet. You want to wait in here, Joe? You want to let me take this one, the brunt of this one myself? Okay, it sounds like we lost Joe. And the other, let me throw some other people to the bus here and not make it sound like it's only Pope Francis. And when he addressed Congress the other day, some big name preachers showed up as well. Rick Warren, The Purpose Driven Life, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, all the traditional characters you would expect to show up at his speech before Congress and to meet with him privately, along with a lot of other religious and political leaders. Joe's on the air, but he can't get in. Hold on, let me try something here. Try it now.
Well, I feel like I'm back.
There you are. You're back. He's back. He's back. He's Joe Citrone.
So good to be finally back.
I just kept rolling because I didn't hear you.
Well, it's good to be back, and I could listen to you. I could hear what was going on, and I agree with a lot of the stuff that you're saying. I wanted to touch ground on this too, really quick. I mean, talking about the Pope and everything that's been going on. I was at, forgot where I was, and I'm looking at the TV, and somebody came up to me and said, "See all those people?" I says, "Yeah." "They're waiting to see the Pope." And I'm like, "Really?" I mean, I knew he was going to be in New York and all that, but I see all these people that look upon him, and, you know, I don't want to offend anybody's beliefs, Catholicism. You know, I get it, and that's not what I'm trying to do by bringing all this up. But I'm going to say, though, Richard, we have put our faith into just about every single thing, but where we really need to put it in. And that's the part I think that's what was my little light bulb moment. My little, you know, bulb started popping, and I'm like, it's so simple. It's easily, you know, understood of what we need to do. We've been following just the commandments, you know? But yet we still continue to put our faith in what we can see, whether it's an animal, whether it's a family member. I mean, anything can be that idol. But the way they look at this Pope, they look at him if he is God. And I just don't get how a believer, whether you're Catholic or not, that says you believe in the Lord Jesus, could still put that much faith into that man knowing who Jesus is and what he's done for us.
I saw a post on Facebook and Twitter. I saw interviews of people going, "I'm not even Catholic, but this man moved me. There's something special about him." One person on the street, obviously they were Catholic, said, "Oh, that he's Jesus Christ. He's Christ here on earth." And I'm thinking, no, he's not. And this is a direct quote. This is from something he said, and I have a copy of the speech. "At times one hears him say, 'I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't care about the church.' How many times have we heard this? This is not good. There are those who believe they can maintain a personal, direct, and immediate relationship with Jesus Christ outside the communion and the mediation of the church. These are dangerous and harmful temptations." I'm sorry, sir. You need to read your Bible. But this was a direct slap in the face of those of us that says it's a relationship and it's not a religion. And I read a couple other ones, and I didn't cut and paste them, that were conservative Catholics that came right out and said, this is about control. This is about his attempt to assimilate the Muslims into what will become the one world religion. And I know I was reading this one blog going, wow, this guy gets it. How could he not see the rest of it being wrong? But that's what this is all about. The not offending the Muslims, kissing the Quran, meeting with them, saying that we worship the same God. This goes back to something we've been talking about for 2 years. All of the meetings in the Vatican, the posturing and the positioning for Rome, the Vatican, and the Pope to become the head of the one world religion, where Chrislam, which is the mixture of Christianity and Islam, something Rick Warren is very direct involved in, comes together in such a way that, hey, we all worship the same God, we just call him a different name. No, that's not true. That's not true. And I believe sometime during this week, I will be shocked. The United Nations, France and Turkey do not present Palestine for full statehood. I'm not saying that it will happen. I'm saying I'll be shocked if it doesn't because of the way they have postured all this. But we know that God can stop anything, and he can slow down the prophetic train if he thinks it's taken off too fast. But on October 1st and 2nd, the theme of the meetings is world safety and security, maintenance of international peace and security. And if that's not when they address the conflict between Palestine and Israel, then they never will. Once that happens, once Putin steps to the stage, because he's there, he's meeting with Obama this week about Syria. He's meeting with other leaders about Syria. Gog and Magog is coming together as we speak. Prophecy is being fulfilled as we sit here and talk about it. Right now in New York, there probably are parties and backdoor meetings and deals under the table so that sometime during this week, Israel's going to get, for lack of a better word, screwed. They're going to tell them Palestine must have half of Jerusalem by 2017. Netanyahu's already said, no, we won't do that. Unless they can force him out, there is going to be war in the Middle East. Middle Eastern articles all over the internet that I read, and I read most of them, they know that something's getting ready to happen. You've got Putin, you've got China in Syria. They're not going to let Damascus fall. Now, in the process of wiping out ISIS, they could turn Damascus into rubble overnight. You just never know. ISIS could do it. There's rumor ISIS has a bomb. And you know what you were saying before about something's getting ready to happen? You can just feel it. You can just feel something's getting ready to happen. And we're being lulled into complacency as the media makes so much out of this Pope that he's become a superstar. He had more security in New York than the president gets. From New York to D.C. to Philadelphia, apparently Madonna in her concert, I don't think he was there, but Madonna was talking about, she blessed him, prayed for him, or just some crazy thing. And then they had some big concert where he sat up on the stage, and he's a rock star. Well, I don't know. No. I've studied enough of the Antichrist and the false prophet, what the false prophet does. I think Judge Napolitano's right.
Well, let me just say this. I mean, we talk about the false prophet, the beast and the false prophet, right?
Uh-huh.
In your honest opinion, when we talk about that, obviously everybody would try to pin the Pope being, you know, the Antichrist, you know, back in the day, or they're trying to have this guy be the Antichrist, and you know, they were even accusing Ronald Reagan at one time, you know, back in the day. But honestly, the false prophet, who do you think that false prophet really will be? Is it going
to
be a
religious leader? It has to be a religious leader. And right now he's the only one that fits that category. I could be wrong, but he's got the whole world under his sway. If he stood up, let's just look at it this way. How many millions of people, billions of people in the Roman Catholic Church worship him? If he stood up and said, so-and-so is the answer to the problem and we must all follow and listen to him, they would do it. Now, you'd have your conservatives and you'd have those that disagree, and then you'd have the Protestants and the evangelicals and all the others. But everything he promoted this week in all of his speeches, illegal immigration, disarmament, the biggest threat to mankind is climate change. Really? What about the Christians that are being slaughtered in the Middle East? What about the babies that are being butchered in the womb and sold for body parts? You know, we said nothing about that. And I found it interesting, even Mother Teresa, when she spoke at the presidential prayer breakfast in the 90s, and I had friends who were there, when she got up and basically ripped America a new one, brilliant, progressive, loving country like America, and the scourge of abortion, the guy that I knew that was there said Bill Clinton bawled like a baby. He was under such conviction, and that you could hear Hillary grinding her teeth in anger from across the room. Mother Teresa laid it all out. She said it the way it needed to be said, and I've got to find the speech and post it online. Abortion is a scourge against humanity. The Pope kind of danced around it, but never really said, hey, guys, this is wrong. It needs to stop. he had the world stage. Had he stepped forward and said that, first of all, he probably cut a deal not to say those things, or he never would have been allowed to speak to Congress. But as I watch this play out, and I don't want to run out of time on this, but as I watched this play out this week, and I saw how the media propped him up, even the liberal left, separation of church and state, unless it fulfills their agenda of illegal immigration and climate change and gun control, they were falling all over themselves over this guy. I mean, I saw people make comments, you know, I'm not a Catholic, but this man, he moved me. We should listen to him. And I went, wow, have you been mesmerized?
Man, the extreme. I mean, when you really think of what's happening, and then you have him come into play. Yeah, you're right. The false prophet is going to have to be. It's going to have to be the religion. It's going to have to be. It's just, that's the bottom line. I agree. It has to represent. It has to be a representation of religion, just like the Whore of Babylon. It's all coming down to that, and I can see it happening, and it's scary. But in one aspect. You know, on the other aspect, it's not. It's exciting because this is an exciting time to know that the end is coming and we know what the end is for us. So it's happy, it's sad. I think the most important thing for me, Richard, and we've talked about this many times, it's not about me anymore. It really is about helping people. Getting the word out there, getting them saved, healed, and delivered. I totally live by that as far as what we need to do, even with SRT. It's about that. It's about shining that light into the darkness, exposing it. Because if people like ourselves throughout the world aren't going to do that, what hope does society have if all they can look to is man-made religion, media, radio, newspaper, TV. It's a tough situation. It's very, very scary.
You know, somebody asked me what would it take for them to pull this off? As long as that the internet's there, as long as somebody can get on Twitter or social media and post a picture, post a clip and expose something, as long as there are shows like this and the thousands of others, they can't do it just yet. As soon as they can take control of mass communication, you know it's over. So as long as we can share, maybe you disagree with me, but I challenge you to do your own homework. I challenge you to research the origins, what makes this guy different. He's the first Jesuit pope ever chosen. There's now people coming out, a biographer who has written about the Vatican has said that the previous guy, Benedict, was forced out of power because he never would have done what this guy is doing. And that this, you know, and of course we have the Tom Horn thing about, oh, this is Petrus Romanus and this is the 112th Pope and Malachi Martin prophesied this. Well, I don't care what a dead priest prophesied. If it's not in the Bible, I don't pay attention to it. And there's nothing in the Bible about the final pope. But there is something there about the false prophet and what part he'll play and how he'll do it. So that's what I think we need to pay attention to. We need to stop pandering to the pocketbooks of these people that sell you. They drive up the fear factor or the need, the supply and demand. And they create the demand and then they sell you the supply. It's coming. How it plays out, I don't know. This is the week. We'll be, you know, next week when we get together, we'll talk about whatever happened this week at the UN. And if Palestine didn't get nominated, if they didn't get declared statehood, excuse me, and Israel's not been told to give up half of Jerusalem, then we got a reprieve. And I was actually praying for that this week. Standing out under the stars, and I said, you know what, Father, I know it's in your hands, and I know in the fullness of time you're going to do what you're going to do, but there's so many people not ready. There's so many. I don't even know if I'm ready, and I try to be ready. You know, if there's any chance of mercy, if there's any chance of delay, but if not, if it's your will, let it be done. hopefully is a delay, but I'm not expecting one. I'm really not. 4 minutes, closing thoughts, brother.
Closing thoughts is, it's amazing to me how life takes a turn. You go through a different direction and you think you have it figured out. And then there's a shift in your life. And then you realize the things that you needed to do back then and the way you've conducted things, you could always do better. And it's certain people out there that can help you realize that you can be better. And you can fall, but you can also get yourself back up. It's never going to be in a situation where you do everything perfect. But as long as our intentions are pure, as our intention is from the heart and from a godly perspective, then I think people like ourselves and SRT, we're here for the long haul. And we're going to make the best possible as we can and prepare and help people prepare for what's going to come, you know, down the line. And that's all I can say about tonight. It was very informal and educating, but it also made me stop and think that, you know what, we're not ready because we know there's a lot of people out there that's not ready. And should it all end tomorrow, it's going to be a sad situation for a lot of people.
Yeah, I was thinking of that scripture, the Lord is not slack in his coming. You know, he wants everybody to be saved, and that's his heart's desire, and that's why we got to be about our Father's business. But let me just say this. If you're listening, no matter what your belief structures are, it is about relationship, and it's not about religion. You can have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. You are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not an organization. The church is us. We are the called out ones. We are the ecclesia. And it's not a denomination, no matter what it is, whether it's the Catholics or the Protestants or the Baptists or whatever they call themselves. It's between you and him. And when the day comes that you stand before him, it'll just be you and him. There'll be no name tags. There'll be no membership affiliations. He's going to look and see, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And the only way to do that is to say, I believe. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he died for your sins. Make him Lord of your life and you will be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. There's no razzle dazzle. There's no ritual. There's none of those things. If you prayed that prayer, if you believe, and you have no one else to reach out to, you go to supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com, or onsolomonsporch.org, and you reach out to me, and we'll figure out a way to get you plugged in to the porch on Wednesday nights. We'll get you a Bible, and we'll help you walk this walk, because the darkness is coming. In fact, it's already here. But we're going to leave the light on. I'm Richard Grund. On behalf of Joe Citrone and all of the people with us in the fellowship of believers, we'll see you next time here on Reflection in the Dark.